When people's hearts are not functioning properly, sometimes what they need is called open heart surgery. The doctor literally opens the chest to fix the problem. All of us in this room are born with spiritual heart disease. It's called sin. And the solution is open heart surgery. In your notes, you should have notes, and we're there already. Brother Patrick, do you have notes up there? There you go. In your notes, sin makes our hearts malfunction. Sin makes our hearts malfunction. God is the great heart surgeon. God is the one that performs heart surgery to prepare our damaged hearts and make them work properly. And you know, when a surgeon performs open heart surgery, he has tools to perform that surgery. And what I want you to know is, just like a surgeon uses tools to perform surgery, God uses several tools to repair our hearts. And this morning, what we want to do is look at the tools that God uses to repair our hearts. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Would you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and remove Satan's blinders from your eyes, making you good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray now for the other people in this room, that God would open their heart, soften their heart, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for his word, that the holy scriptures would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And now would you please take a moment to pray for me that I would preach this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, and may I be a tool that you use to speak to the people you love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just like a surgeon uses tools to perform surgery, God uses several tools to repair our hearts. We want to be talking about all of them this morning, just a few. Number one in your notes, fellowship. Fellowship. One great tool that God uses is fellowship. Please join me in Proverbs chapter 12. If you're new to Trinity Baptist, you will note on the second page of your note sheet, or rather on the back of your note sheet is listed every scripture that we will go to today. Hopefully that will help you. Proverbs 12:1 says very simply, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." There it is right there. The Bible is plain as day. Whoever loves correction loves knowledge. But if you hate correction, you're stupid. If I hate correction, I'm stupid. Why? Do you want to be a strong Christian? That's a question. Do you want to be a strong Christian? Then spend time with strong Christian people and let them influence you. If you want to be a strong Christian, spend time with strong Christian people and let them influence you. Go quickly to Hebrews chapter 3, please. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3:12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We are to encourage one another so that we are not hardened by sin. This is God's will for us. Do you want to be a strong Christian? Hang out with strong Christian people. Here is a couple of suggestions. Patrick has already given you one. Intentionally spend time with strong Christian people. And number two, humbly receive their input into your life. Humbly receive their input into your life. You're in Hebrews already? Go a couple pages to Hebrews 10. Wonderful, wonderful passage. Hebrews 10. Verse 19. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Do you want to be a strong Christian? Very simple. Come to church every Sunday. Probably preaching a little bit to the choir since you're all here. But you want to be a strong Christian? Come to church every Sunday. You want to take the next step? Go to one of our small groups. We have several. Hang out with strong Christian people and humbly receive their input into your life. Pride and other heart corruptions will prevent you from receiving godly input. Don't rob yourself of God's healing touch. Tool number two in your notes: spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are wonderful tools that God uses to change your life. What are spiritual disciplines? You have a list of 8 or 9 in your notes. The first and primary one is Bible reading. Bible reading. And I've got a statement there in your notes. We do not read the Bible only for information. We read it for transformation. We do not read the Bible only for... Now, information leads to transformation. So, see, I didn't say we don't read it for information, because we do. But we don't read it only for information. We read it for transformation. One of the best verses, beautiful verse, is Psalm 119, 105. Would you go there with me, please? Psalms is in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 119. Very simply, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You and I need to be good patients. God is the surgeon, and we are the patient. How can we be good patients? Allowing the Holy Spirit to use these tools, faithfully practice the spiritual disciplines. The first one is Bible reading. I'm going to give you a bunch of them. Faithfully practice the spiritual disciplines. The Holy Spirit uses the Bible as his tool to perform surgery on your heart. If you have not been reading the Bible on a regular basis, you're missing out on God's gracious work in your life. Maybe you're reading the Bible on a regular basis. Are you reading it just to check it off your list? Sometimes it's tempting to do that, isn't it? Well, I read it today. Okay. Are you reading it just to check it off your list? Or do you open your heart when you read it? One of the most important psalms is Psalm 139. You're in Psalm 119. Just turn a couple pages over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 ends with a famous and beautiful verse, which should be our attitude whenever we read the Bible. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I was talking to one of you before church this morning, and you said, whenever I open up the Bible and read it, I just say, God, show me what's wrong with me and fix it. That's what we want to do when we read the Bible. When you read the Bible, first pray and say, Lord, I know that your goal in my life is to perform surgery on my polluted, corrupted, malfunctioning heart. I'm opening up the Bible now so that you will reveal the corruption, and by your word and by your spirit, you will clean it up. Let's do it right now. That's the attitude you need when you open the Bible. Perhaps you're already reading the Bible on a regular basis. Perhaps you already have that attitude when you read. I want to challenge you now to take the next step and add the other spiritual disciplines along with Bible reading. There's a bunch of them. B is solitude and silence. Solitude and silence. Spend some extended time alone with God. One writer has put it this way: solitude is the furnace of transformation. Solitude is the furnace of transformation. Spending extended time alone with God in solitude and silence will change your life. If you've already committed to Bible reading, perhaps this is the next step. C, D, and E are quickly Bible meditation, Bible study, and Bible memorization. Bible meditation,
Bible study and Bible memorization. These are wonderful spiritual disciplines that God will use to change your life. I am so excited about Awana. I hope that you're excited about Awana too. This is the best kids program. Why? Because it is scripture memorization. Hide God's word in your heart. Why? So that we will not sin. Beautiful, beautiful program. I'm excited about it. If you're already reading the Bible, perhaps it's time to add Bible meditation, Bible study, or Bible memorization. F is appropriately fasting. Fasting. If you've been reading your Bible on a regular basis, perhaps now is the time to try the beautiful discipline of fasting. Some of you have fasted before. Some of you have never done it. But those of you that have fasted before, I'm sure will say your amen to this. Fasting on food is feasting on God. It's fantastic. And if you haven't tried it, fasting can be used powerfully of God to perform surgery on your heart. If you've never done it before, try it, and you will get closer to God than you ever thought possible. There are several others. Here they are. Service is the next one. Worship. Prayer. Stewardship. Journaling. Service. Worship. Prayer. Stewardship. And journaling. These are wonderful activities that God uses to change your heart. If you want to know more about spiritual disciplines, there's several fantastic books that I can recommend to you after the service. Remember, this is important. We've been in Matthew 23 for the past few weeks, and we've talked about how the Pharisees just walked through the motions without the heart condition. Don't practice spiritual disciplines like a Pharisee. Don't just do it to earn points with God or something like that. You approach the discipline with a heart that says, I know I have corruption and I want nothing more than to have a pure heart. Having a pure heart is the number one priority of my life, and I want it, and I want you to use these spiritual disciplines in my life for that purpose. Don't do it like a Pharisee. Do it with a heart that wants to be transformed. Okay, one, fellowship, two, spiritual disciplines, three, trials and tribulations. Trials and tribulations. Please join me in Romans chapter 5. Beautiful, powerful passage in Romans chapter 5. Be sure to stay in Romans because we'll be in Romans 8 next. Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. God uses trials and difficulties in our lives to perform heart surgery on us. Praise his name for that. Praise his name for that. It's a wonderful thing. And you and I need to get to the point in our lives where we would rather be free from sin than be free from trials. I would rather have trials in my life than sin in my life. Is that your attitude? Are you committed enough to holiness that you're willing to say, God, the number one thing that I want in life is not friends, it's not money, it's not health, it's not success, it's not happiness, but the number one thing I want is a pure heart. That's what you need to say. And you need to say, Lord, if trials are the only way that I can get a pure heart, if trials are the only way that you can bring your surgery and clean up my heart, if that's the only way it will do it, then let's go. Because it's better to be free from sin than free from trials. Trinity Baptist, Satan hates you. We say God loves you. Satan hates you. He hates you with a hatred that should make you feel cold. He hates you with a hatred that should make you have goosebumps. And his plan in your life is to prevent God from performing his heart surgery. But he has a problem. Satan has a lot of problems, but he has a problem. And his problem is this. He does not have the power, he does not have the authority to prevent God from cleaning you up. He can't do it. He can't interfere with God. He cannot sabotage the surgery. So what can he do? In your notes, though Satan cannot sabotage God's heart surgery, he can tempt you into being a bad patient. Though Satan cannot sabotage God's heart surgery, he can tempt you into being a bad patient. Let's talk about some temptations that Satan uses to keep you from cooperating with God. Here are five. Five temptations Satan uses to keep you from cooperating with God. Number one, fear. Fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. And I want to ask you a question as I ask myself. Are you afraid to give God complete control of your life? Are you afraid of holiness? Do you find security in your sin? Please turn to Romans chapter 8. You're in Romans 5. Just turn a few pages over to Romans 8. 12. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We do not have a spirit of fear, and we are not slaves to fear. God's word says that the Holy Spirit that lives in you is not a spirit of fear, it's a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Are you afraid to trust God? Are you afraid to completely obey him? That fear will interfere with you being a good patient. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3:13. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Do not fear. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. He won't ruin you. You've ruined yourself. Satan has ruined you. The only way to be repaired is to completely trust God. God says, jump in the deep end. Jump. The only way is to trust God. He can be trusted. He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. Don't be afraid of what he's going to do. If you say, God, I'm opening up. Here is my heart. Here is my heart. I'm not holding anything back. Here is my heart. Take it. Do whatever you want with it. He can be trusted. Number two, selfishness. Selfishness. You've been to Psalm 119 already. It's in the middle of the Bible, so please join me in Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. The repaired heart, the heart that God has surgically repaired, has him on the throne. The damaged heart, the corrupted heart, the malfunctioning heart has self on the throne. Serving yourself, pleasing yourself, loving yourself as opposed to loving God will keep you from being a good patient. In your notes, if you're going to enjoy all of God's plan for your life, you must deny yourself. In your notes, if you're going to enjoy all of God's plan for your life, you must deny yourself. If you want to enjoy God's gracious heart surgery, you've got to let go of loving yourself. God wants to clean selfishness out of your heart. He can do it, but you have to confess it and say, God, I admit this is wrong. I don't want this anymore. Please come and replace my selfishness with love. Love is the fix. Selfishness is the corruption. Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must do what? Deny himself. Deny himself. You cannot serve two masters. And I want to ask you this. I want to say this again in your notes. It's very important. If you're going to enjoy all of God's plan for your life, you must deny yourself. Don't rob yourself of all that God has for you. If you do not deny yourself, you will not enjoy all that God has planned for you. If you do not deny yourself, you will not enjoy all that God has planned for you. Number three, these are five temptations. Number three is pride. Pride. We talked about this when I began the sermon. When people have physical heart surgery, it's often or sometimes called open heart surgery. The chest is opened so that the doctor can get to the heart and fix whatever is wrong. The surgery that God performs on your heart is also open heart surgery. That's the kind of surgery that God practices. You and I have to open up to God. We have to repent. We have to submit to His transforming grace. Psalm 95 is next. You're in Psalm 19. Just turn a couple pages over to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Now listen to this. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That's the word. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. In your notes, look, God loves you, and he wants to operate on your heart to fix it. But when we harden our hearts, we cannot receive his healing touch. God loves you, and he wants to operate on your heart to fix it. But when we harden our hearts, we cannot receive his healing touch. Look at what these beautiful words of Jesus in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. We've been studying Matthew at church. And someone was talking to me the other day and really made my day. They said, Pastor, I was out in the pew and I grabbed one of the pew Bibles and I opened it and it just fell open to Matthew. Love it. Matthew 13:14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. My prayer for you and my prayer for myself is that you would never have a calloused, hard heart, but would be soft and open to surrender to the love of God as he wants to change you. Pride will prevent you from reading the Bible with an open heart. Pride will prevent you from benefiting from fellowship. Pride will prevent you from wanting to spend time with godly people. Oh, I don't want to spend time with them because they're going to challenge me. I'm going to feel bad about what I do. Pride will prevent you from receiving their input in your life. Pride just cuts you off from the glorious, gracious work of God. Pray every day and say, God, do whatever you need to do to get rid of my pride. You must not have pride. It will kill you. Five temptations that keep you from being a good patient. Number four, rationalization. Rationalization. Very similar to pride. It comes from pride. Turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. And I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Rationalization is when we convince ourselves that it's okay to sin. We've all done it. I've done it. You've done it. Rationalization is when we convince ourselves that it's okay to sin. Conviction, listen, conviction is God's invitation to surgery. Conviction is God's invitation to surgery. He says, hey, you have a problem. Come, let's fix it. Conviction, this is what your notes say. Conviction is the sunrise of God's beautiful healing day. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of God repairing or corrupting a portion of your heart. Let's say I have an anger problem. And I lose my temper with my beautiful wife or my children or one of you or someone on the street. What happens? The Holy Spirit. Dave, that was wrong. You see the invitation? Conviction is God's invitation to surgery. Come on, you got a problem. Let's fix it. Confession, this is your notes. Confession is our response. Confession is our response. You receive invitations in the mail, you're supposed to RSVP, right? Sometimes you get it on Facebook, it's there, and you just click, yes, I'm coming. Confession is your response. Conviction is God's invitation. Confession is you RSVPing, yes. Conviction is God says, come to surgery. Confession is, I'll be there. I'll be there. I admit that I'm wrong. Rationalization cuts off the whole process. God, in his love and graciousness, Trinity Baptist Church, if you hear me today, listen to this. Conviction is love. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It's a blessing. I have corruption in my heart. And God says, Dave, here it is. Here's the damage. Here's the corruption. You want me to fix it? It's a glorious invitation. Don't rationalize it away. Accept the invitation. God touches your heart and says you're sinning in this area. And he's scrubbed up. He's ready to go. And when you rationalize it, it's like God is there in the operating table. He's scrubbed up. He's ready to go. And you say, I'm not coming. I don't need you. We've all rationalized. Oh, I've got a right to be angry. Oh, da 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 blah, blah, blah. No. Accept the invitation. It's a gift. Number 5, doubt or unbelief. Doubt or unbelief. This is the ultimate one, brothers and sisters. Doubt or unbelief will prevent you from being a good patient. In order to cooperate with God, we have to trust him. We have to trust him when he identifies good and bad in your life. You have to trust him. Good and bad thoughts, good and bad words, good and bad habits. This is the attitude of confession. I told you confession is RSVPing, yes. This is the attitude of confession. Here it is. God, you're right, I'm wrong. You're right, I'm wrong. David says, when he was convicted of his sin with Bathsheba, David says what? He says, against you and you only have I sinned. If you wanted a sacrifice, I'd bring it, but it's not what you want. This is what you want, a broken and contrite heart. A broken and contrite heart says, God, you're right, I'm wrong. That's the attitude we need to have. You've got to trust him. Doubt or unbelief will make you a bad patient. You have to trust him when he says, this is right, this is wrong. This is a right thought, this is a wrong thought. This is a right habit, this is a wrong habit. This is a good word, this is a bad word. These are good actions, these are bad actions. You've got to trust him. You have to trust him when he gives you direction. You have to trust him when he leads you. If you don't trust him, you won't follow him. Surrender to him. He will not fail you. I promise. Well, I'm done. But God is not. Would you please turn to Psalm 139 again? Psalm 139. These beautiful verses. Psalm 139. Verse 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Would you take a few moments right now and pray that to God? Say, God, search me. Convict me. Extend your gracious invitation to me to the operating room. Take a few moments right now and pray that and accept his invitation.